This Saturday morning, the 7th of August, 1971. This is Channel One Right, a new reel, and beginning the visit with Berman and Tommy this Saturday morning, the 7th of August, 1971. Channel One Right, and beginning the visit with Berman and Tommy this Saturday morning, the 7th of August, 1971. Channel One Right, and beginning the visit with Berman and Tommy this Saturday morning, the 7th of August, 1971.
She can stand up, that's all. And I'll have to drag her around. I had her in the doctor yesterday. He doesn't know what's wrong with her. And she hasn't slept hardly a bit the last two or three nights. She does aches all over her feet. She said her feet just feel like when you stand up, just feel like you're standing on knife blades. And her knees hurt, just pain. Her ankles hurt, her hands hurt. She can't even use her hands hardly.
Well, that's what Shirley said. I'm glad Berman, get to talk to Berman a little bit. Go ahead and tell her what.
Doctor, don't she went to Dr. Ball here in Gainesville? He tried to get. She's been trying to see Dr. Thomas, but he won't see her. He tried the doctor over the phone. Told her she has ulcers. He doctored her over the phone for ulcers. And I thought, well, maybe she can get her to see my doctor a little, but he won't see no one but heart patients now. That's a Dr. Anderson. And he's quit general practice now, and he's just going to heart surgery and heart practice. He's just going to the only thing he does now is heart patients. So she went to Dr. Boyle, and I took her in there yesterday. She's there by an hour, I guess. And he said he's just not too sure what's wrong with it until he gets some tests run on it.
Yeah, they can't tell anymore.
He said the only thing I can do is call it a virus right now. He says all I can do.
Yeah.
She can't even walk. She can't even hardly shuffle her feet. She can't hardly move her feet. Stands up. I have to help her stand up. She can't stand up by herself at all.
You want a glass of milk?
You mean?
Oh. he doesn't need nothing.
Yes, he does.
I was wondering this morning why my old cow only gave about a half a gallon of milk, and happened to think there, and I've had her shut up for 2 days. She hasn't had no water.
His favorite, Berman don't drink coffee. He drinks lemonade.
Oh, I drink any. I drink any.
You don't have any coffee?
I got tea, though. I was getting a little coffee.
We just short, that's all.
We stay short.
We need to have a little, make some hay and have a bunch of boys in that to make boy, it stock up, wouldn't it?
I wondered, I thought maybe I'd cut down a little bit of hay today. You know, I had that last year where when I played by the Pangola, where the Pangola died out, old weeds grew up, old ragweeds and stuff.
Yeah.
This year, I went out there and fertilized that same spot, and where the ragweeds grew up, instead of ragweeds growing up, crabgrass grew up in there instead. So I figured, well, I like that better. You know, ragweed don't make them a stinking mess in hay.
Yeah.
But crabgrass will make pretty good hay.
You know, I tell you where I learned that. Now, I've never seen any down here. There's one of these lightning boys. Jake lightning.
This is cream. That's sugar.
He's not very much. Last time I was over there, Bonnie made us a picture of
Gator.
Pinky.
That's what I should
have. Pink lemonade.
And we just sat there and drank, and went outdoors and drank. And this Jake Lightner, and his daddy's one of the big traders, old time horse traders. He'd beat you
you and make you like this, you know.
I'm just telling my uncle.
Uncle Corbett?
Yeah, Uncle Corbett.
Huh?
Sound like my Uncle Corbett.
Corbett, yeah, that got the name. I knew it was wrong.
He'll take your eyeballs out of your head and try to make you think he did you a favor.
Oh. Well, what sort of thing did he do? That's a gift, you know.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
I didn't get none of it, though.
Yeah, you didn't.
I didn't get none of that gift.
How does he...
He's a big talker.
Yeah.
He'll talk you out of anything.
And talk you into it.
Yeah, and then make you think you how what a big favor he did you.
Well, now what has he talked you into?
It's what he hasn't talked me into. He tried to talk me into it, but I finally got tired of it.
Yeah. Shirley said you used to get a little money from him, and the time you paid him back.
Yeah, I borrow money from him, you know, and. And make me think he's doing me a big favor by the time I pay him the interest and everything. I just been well off and go to the bank and go to get the money from them and without listening to his song and dance.
What is he? You see, I haven't seen him.
I don't believe you ever have either. Really big man.
Yeah.
He has to stoop over to come through that door.
I didn't see your daddy until, really, you know, I'd seen him off and on, but I hadn't seen much of him until this last trip he made.
Yeah.
Here. And I wouldn't take anything for having seen him.
That's right.
Oh, he had a...
Well, that's almost hot, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
He burnt the hair on my lip there.
But your daddy, now, he had a way about him, Berman, that was...
Well,
quite,
you know, all my dad's brothers, they were all different. None of them were alike hardly at all.
Yeah.
Their disposition was different and everything. He had six brothers. And every one of them had a different disposition. But the only thing they all had in common was their size. All big men.
Oh,
that's about the only thing they had in common.
Yeah.
But they all had a different disposition.
Isn't it?
And nearly every one of them had to even talk different. None of them even hard to talk a lot.
Oh, really?
They even had a different pitch to their voice and even a different accent even.
Oh, really? And brought up right there together.
No, they weren't brought up together. The whole trouble is, see, there's dad. My dad got one brother. He got one brother 20 years younger than he was. My dad was in the army whenever he was born. He had one brother. He was in the army about a year or two before he had one brother even born. Many brothers had one brother born.
There was a wide gap between.
Yeah, there's quite a gap.
Yeah.
And then this and here up here, Corbett. There was 18 years between him and Corbett. And a lot different. And then the Other, he's 2 years older than my dad, and he talks and acts and everything like a Walter Brennan on television. He doesn't act at all like the rest of them. He got a different disposition altogether. He done nothing but sawmilling all his life. That's all he ever done, a sawmill. Ran a sawmill. He owned a sawmill up in Virginia, and he ran a sawmill all his life. That's all he knows, is sawmill.
Now, which
one's
that?
That's Other. He's Other.
Why in the world he get up there?
Well, that's where they're born and raised in Virginia.
Oh, your father?
Yeah, that's where they came from, in Virginia. And he stayed in Virginia.
I see.
So that was one reason he was up there.
Oh, I see.
I don't know what the reason.
I see.
What caused him to come to Florida?
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't stay in Virginia.
But they settled right down there where they are now.
Yeah, settled there in Winter Park.
Yeah.
And dad, one of his sisters died here last Saturday, week ago today.
Yeah.
That was his youngest sister. She's only 67.
What was her name?
Sybil.
Sybil, yeah.
He had six sisters.
Good God.
See, there were 13 in his family.
Wow.
13 kids.
And
then his mother died whenever John was born. John was the youngest. And he's 66. No, 65, I believe it is.
Now, it seemed like Shirley said that.
No, I'll take that back. He is, John is 62.
He's 62. That you like Aunt Sybil.
Yeah, she was a wretched nurse. Her and Stella. And he had two sisters that was nurses over at Orange Moon Hospital. They'd nursed over there for about 30-some years, I guess.
Yeah.
Stella, she's been dead now almost 14 years. She died of cancer.
Yeah.
Sybil died of cancer. But she didn't know she had anything wrong with her until 2 weeks ago. She had a tumor on her brain. And they x-rayed and everything and then operated on her. She operated on her one day and she died the next.
Yeah.
She started coming down with headaches, and they ran her in the hospital. And you know that 1 week she was in the hospital, they ran a bill up on her of $4,000 in 1 week. She was in there 1 week. Spent 1 week in the hospital. $4,000.
Yeah. And she was fairly young.
Yeah, she was 67. She had two boys. She had one boy. One son is an electrical engineer over at the Cape. He's been working over at the Cape ever since the Cape started, and he's about the same age as I am. I think he's 1 year younger than I am. And then she has one Charles, one's Irvin, one of them's a lawyer, and one's an engineer.
I thought Charlie said Ann Sybil was in the late 50s.
No, she's 67. She was 67. She had one boy. I'm 46. I think one of them was 45, and the other one was 44 or something like that. It's only about a year difference between their age.
You how old?
46.
The hell you are.
Yeah, I'm 46.
Why, Brevin, why, Lord, help
me. How old do you think I was, about 76?
36.
I'm 46. Shirley's 36. I'm 10 years older than Shirley.
I didn't think Shirley
was that old. Oh, I forgot that.
Yes. I didn't think Shirley was that old.
She's 36 and I'm 46.
Well, Lord, help us. I didn't realize that. I should have been speaking to Berman with more respect.
Why, sure.
You'd be surprised how dumb you can get in 46 years.
That's right.
Oh, shit.
Every morning I get up, I'm a little bit more retarded and find out I know that much less each morning.
Well, look, Berman was on Clovis. I can't call his name. Was he interesting to watch him perform?
We don't know.
How did you say it, Faye?
The one who always cheated you. Oh, he always, you know, got on top. And that's not Clovis.
Who?
Cuthbert. No.
Corbett?
Yeah.
He's always
likable?
Oh, yeah, he's a likable person.
And you
knew
he was doing it to you.
Well, he'll do it to you in such a slick way you won't get wise to it for a long time, maybe. See, he was raised up more or less as an orphan.
Yeah.
And his mother died when he was only 2 years old.
Oh.
And then his dad ran off and got married again. So his sisters and brothers, he got tossed around like a rubber ball from one to the other.
And he had to fend for himself.
And he had to work for himself. That was one thing that made him that way. And my mother's the same way. My mother, she's just the other way around. She was the oldest. She had 11 in her family. And she was the oldest when her mother died. And she was only about, I think about 15 when her mother died.
Yeah.
And she had brothers and sisters who were way younger than she was. It was only around about a year or two old. And she raised them. And I think that's one thing that brought the Jew out in her. She'll squeeze a penny and old Abraham hollers.
Yeah.
And she's still that way. She'd pinch pennies and everything whenever she's bringing them up. And she's still that way. She'd get a hold of a nickel and never let it go.
Yeah.
I think she still got the first dollar she ever made.
Well, now Uncle Corbett, you see, I don't know him. And I'm not seeing any of his slick.
Well, he never went no further than the third grade. That's all further he ever went.
Yeah.
But he's a trader. He's a trader. He'd buy anything he wants now. And that's just the way he is. He's got the money to buy anything he wants with. But he wouldn't turn loose with a penny. Not unless he saw he could double it. That's the only way he'd do it. I didn't thought he could double his money.
Now, for instance,
a cow or something. If you got a cow over there, if you want to sell her, that's what he dealt in mostly is cattle.
Oh.
And if you want to sell some cows or something, he'll go over there and figure out about what they're worth at the market value and give you about half that. If you want to take it, okay. If you don't, okay. That's just the way he is.
But that's where you got to start on cows?
On cattle. And trading. Horses, cattle, dog, I mean, goats and things.
Yeah. But all the time, he's talking to you.
Yeah. And he has a good personality. He has a heck of a personality.
And still has.
And you can't make him mad for nothing.
Oh, can't you?
You can't make him mad. No matter what you say, you never get mad.
He don't even notice it.
He don't pay you a bit of mind. You can say anything you want to, he won't get mad. And he'll just say, well, I'll be seeing you or something like that. I mean, if he can't deal with you, and he'll get off on another subject.
Yeah.
Start talking about something else. That's the way he is. You've seen people, you know, if they can't trade their way, they blow up in there and walk off. But he'll leave and everything, but he'll always leave in a good humor. But
and just wait till next time.
And a lot of people, most of the time I lived with him about a year, and I've seen him go around making deals and stuff, and people don't want to sell it, you know, at his price. 2 or 3 days later, here they come knocking on the door, ready to do business with him.
Well,
and take him up on his deal.
For instance, I mean, you remember a lot of cattle.
Oh, yeah, mostly cattle. I've seen a lot of times whenever he'd go off to look at some cattle.
Yeah.
And he'll come back and tell me, he's well, buddy, he said, I'm not give them their price. He said, they don't want to take me up my price, my offer. He said, I'll just forget about it.
He's just talking to you.
And he'd tell me about it. And a few days later, here they'd come back. Well, Mr. Dodd, I'll let them go. Let you have them.
Yeah. Now, that's before the big livestock markets.
Oh, yeah. See, he had an interest in one livestock market. In fact, he owned a thing there in Bethlehem.
Oh, yeah.
He had that central livestock market there in Bethlehem. He wound up, he loaned him the money to build a thing with. He built a great big livestock. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
They built that 21 years ago, and they built it in 1950. He loaned him the money to build that market with, and then they turned around, went bankrupt, and he wound up with the whole thing.
And he didn't want it.
Well, he turned around and sold it. He turned around and sold it for about 2 or 3 times what he had in it.
God.
That's where he gets all it. He owns all these houses and stuff. I guess he rents about, he must have about 60 or 75 homes he rents all the time.
Well,
you remember whenever Highway 75 went through Orlando, when they was building it through Orlando, he was down there buying them houses up like mad and moving them off the lots, and then he rented them.
Oh.
They were nice homes too, a lot of them nice.
Oh, I know they were.
Nice stucco homes, some of them brick homes. And he'd go down and move them. He probably wouldn't have over maybe $4,000 or $5,000 in a great big home that's worth maybe $20,000.
Yeah.
And he'd move them out and rent them.
Yeah.
Maybe $100, $125 a month.
Well, now, how does he collect his rent? Does he do it himself?
No, he has one of his daughters does nearly all his collecting. He has a daughter there. This is about 41, 42 now. She does nearly all his collecting.
Just right there.
See, now, my dad did a lot of that collecting for him. I was right out there where he's at. He has about, I guess 40 homes right in there where my dad was living.
Well, that's fabulous.
And then my dad did all the collecting, but he never did offer to pay my dad one resident. I told my dad, I said, I'd be darned if I'd go around collecting his rent for him if he wouldn't give me something out of it. Give me a percent of it anyhow. But he never offered my dad. He seemed to think it was my dad's duty to collect his doggone rent for him.
Well, your daddy was easy going.
Yeah, he was a lot easier going. He was easy going. Anybody could pull anything over him.
Yeah.
He used to not be that way, but the last 10 or 15 years, he got that way.
Oh, I see. But when he was in his prime, he...
Yeah, he wouldn't... You couldn't pull nothing over on him. But I don't know. He got so anymore. I guess he figured, well, darn, he can't take nothing with him. And he goes, so why worry about it? He had one guy here came in there. My uncle tried to run the check down before it got to the bank, but it was too late. About 2 years ago. See, my dad had his first stroke about a little over 4 years ago.
Yeah.
That's when he really showed it.
Yeah.
And about 2 years ago, this fella came around, knocked on my dad's door, and he told him, he said, I've been around there checking your cesspool. He said, I believe it needs pumping out. He said, when did you have it pumped out last? Dad said, well, now, he said, I have never had it pumped out. He asked me how old it was. He said, well, he said, built it and where they had it. They brought it out and put it in for him, I think, in 48 or 49, about 20 years ago. Well, yep. He said, it needs pawned out bad. He said, you're going to have a lot of trouble with that. So he went around. My dad told him, all right, go ahead, pump it out. So he pumped it out. And you want to charge? He wasn't around there 5 minutes. He didn't pump it out enough. Came back around. Well, he said, I got it all pumped out. And he's all in good shape. And he said, yeah, that'll be $125. Charge him $125. And the only thing that guy did was take a great big crowbar and bust the lid on the cesspool. And the top of the cesspool is even with the ground. He didn't have to do any digging at all. The lid, they had three lids on it, and he busted one of the lids. That's all he did. And when he left, it was about 15 minutes later, my uncle came by, Corbett. And my dad told him about this. And he went out to look at it, and oh, he got mad, thinking about what that guy did. And he's some kind of a foreigner. My dad said he looked like a Puerto Rican. And my uncle, boy, he went straight to the bank, put a stop the payment on the check. And the guy had already got there and cashed it before he got there.
You can't, yes. Now, that was not long ago.
This is about 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's after you had that stroke.
Yeah.
After you had that stroke. But he was, Uncle Corbett was looking out for him.
Oh, yeah, he's looking out for him. But he got paid for it. Don't think he didn't figure out, because the 4 years my dad was in the shape he was in. So he was a veteran. And he drew a pension, around $300 a month pension, Social Security, both. But he had to pay for his own medicine. And it came out of his paycheck. I mean, out of his pension check. Well, my dad got to the place where he was so forgetful about where he laid to put his check when he got it. Sometimes he'd stick it underneath the edge of his mattress, or open up something like that and stick it in there, or push it in a book or under something. And my cousin would come down and have to look for it and find it for him. And then take him over to the bank and deposit it, make sure it got in the bank. Well, finally it got so bad, my uncle, he took over his checking for him and took care of it. And then he would finally, he had the checks sent to him, and he would deposit them in my dad's account. So you could do it without my dad signing the checks.
Yeah.
So at the end of each month, he'd buy his medicine for him. So at the end of each month, he'd figure out how much he spent for medicine and everything, and my dad would give him a check for it. But I started looking at those things right before my dad came up here. I got his checks, all his past, the checks he'd made in the past to him. And every one of them was $120-some, $115, something like that, for medicine. He'd give my uncle. There'd always be some odd amount. Never, none of them was always the same. And I asked my uncle about it. Well, bud, he said, you know, that medicine was expensive he was taking. He said he had to take that medicine, some of it, once a day. He was taking a sleeping pill every night. And then he'd taken four of them a day. Hanavert. It's help the arteries in your brain, you know, the vessels in your vein. It helped open them up where the blood can pass through when you had hardening arteries. And that was all he's taking. Well, I didn't question him because I didn't know what the cost until he came down here. $120-some a month he was charging him for that medicine. And my dad would give him a check and didn't question him. And I started getting in some of his medicine over here at the drugstore. I got him a month's supply of these antiverts, which took 120 of them a month. It was only $5 or something.
Yeah.
And his sleeping pills didn't come to about $2 or something. Didn't even come to $10.
Yeah.
And that's all the medicine he took. And he was charging him $120-some. That's how. So he calls that honest dealing, you know, my uncle does. When he makes a deal, I mean, when he's trading or something other, it's all right for him to play crooked. That's business. But whenever someone else does it, that's crooked.
Yeah.
That's being crooked.
It's business.
Yeah, it's business with them. That's business.
Well, he's charging that much, that extra for the trip to.
Evidently. And then after I took him down to the VA hospital over there, then I got his medicine for nothing. I go over to the pharmacy there in the Veterans Hospital over there, and the medicine didn't cost anything.
Now, Corbett, he's sort of wobbly himself now.
Oh, he's good and wobbly, but yet you wouldn't think it the way he grabs for pennies.
Yeah.
He's got, what you call it, lung disease?
Emphysema.
And he's having trouble with his heart. He won't stop smoking. The doctor told him he don't quit smoking, it's going to kill him.
Yeah.
And he's smoking. Sometimes you see him with a cigarette in both hands.
Yeah, that's the way they do.
He won't quit smoking.
That's the way they do.
He smoked between and five packs a day.
Yes. I have seen them when they get in trouble with emphysema or something like that.
They smoke all the harder.
Yes.
I never seen the like. That man, I've never seen a man smoke so much in my life as he does. I could go there. I went there one day. And he had one of these big old ashtrays. He don't have a little ashtray. You got to have a big one because he'll fill it up in a little time.
Yeah.
No time flat.
Yeah.
And he had that ashtray sitting on the table. We would sit down in the living room and was talking. And he told his wife, this is the third wife he's got now. And so he asked her to empty the ashtray. And so she emptied the ashtray, and I was there about an hour. An hour's time I was there, he must have smoked about 15, 20 cigarettes. Smoked nearly a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah. Well, now, he can't stand up under that forever.
And he started smoking when he was about, I think he was about 12 or something like that. He started smoking.
Yeah.
And he's 64 now. And he said he sure wish he could quit. He said, I just can't quit.
Surely, I mean, but I'm going to tell you. We have started things over to our house and then never finished them. You remember them cranes that you all used to see out there in the nesting season?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of all things, you know, that we was laying for them that spring when your family went down to Orlando.
Yeah.
And we never did see them.
Well, then I see them every day. I saw them out there this morning. I came left. Stay in that field right down there at the road as you come in. You can see them in the back part.
We didn't see that nesting performance, don't
you? Oh, well, they did their little performance here about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yeah.
There's out there, there's two of them out there behind the barn there, in that field there at the barn, out there at my house. And, boy, they really did a dance out there. Well, they do it real graceful like. One of them will go up when the other one come down. We have a big dance, and facing each other, and they dance like this. I never seen like. They both don't go up at the same time. This one here go up and he'll stretch his neck in a real graceful way. He flop his wings real graceful, and then when he comes down, the other one will go up and do the same thing. They dance around. I remember here about 4 or 5 years ago. There must have been 40 of them sandhill cranes out there in that field. And every one of them was out there dancing. It looked like a bunch of people out there dancing around, waltzing around. That's just what it looked like in the distance. They'd be out there dancing up and down. It was really pretty watching them dance out there. Doing that. Everyone of them. And then finally, maybe two or three would quit here and a couple more would take up over there and they'd start dancing. You'd think it was having some kind of a contest out there.
Now that was the pairs dancing.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a couple of cardinals out here fighting them yesterday. That was the males. Oh, they really hard on each other.
Yeah, pull feathers.
Yeah, and they make angry noises.
Yeah. We
now,
had
when they get on to the dance, see, I never see them.
Yeah.
This
was about 2 weeks ago. I was watching there at the behind the barn there.
God.
You can stand there stand there on the front porch and it's right out there in that field.
And you could just stand out there and watch them. They wouldn't bother.
Well, you get up real close, they'd leave, of course, but they don't pay you no mind if you're all maybe 100, 200 feet or something.
Yeah, yeah. The best way, they say, don't you know, you see these movies in Africa where people stay in the car,
mm-hmm.
and they can drive right up to
Well, you can drive up fairly close.
Car.
You can drive up fairly close up to them, but if you want to open that, stop the car and open the door, boy, they're gone.
Once you get out of that door.
They're gone.
Now, you can do that with cattle, too.
Oh, yeah.
Take a wild cattle come up, as long as, you know, like I was over there with your cows,
mm-hmm.
and they was wild, and if I got out of the car, they light out.
Yeah, well, my cow does the same thing. Even when I go out there, I can drive all among them. And if I want to stop the car and get out, they all run off maybe 100 feet and stop and look back at you.
Yeah.
They seem to have a feeling you're up to something.
Yeah.
Because that's unusual for you to do it. Now, if I drove out there among them maybe a couple times a day and then get out of the car, pretty soon they get used to it and quit it. But we're always driving out there among them. They don't even pay you no mind. In fact, they don't even want to get out your way. You could just run right into one of them doing 2 miles an hour and she wouldn't try to get out your way.
Those cows sure did pick up after the grass came out.
Yeah, I know that. They really put on some weight.
I don't know. They lost during the winter.
I know.
I would have lost some if it hadn't been for that ryegrass out there we had last winter. I swear I would. I just couldn't get no hay. I couldn't find no dang hay.
There wasn't any to find.
And when I did find it, it was just too late. That's when Kemp, what his name, that outfit sold out all that Painsbury, Kemp, wasn't it? Kemp. You know, they had all that hay they sold over there. They were selling $30 a ton, Coastal Bermuda hay, and it was really good hay. And it weighed more, and they figured 34 bales a ton, and I'll tell you, 34 bales weighed more than any ton. And I went over and I bought a ton of, right there, I think it was March when I got some. And I went over there and bought a ton of it. And I mean, those are big old bales. They must have been that long. And I mean, that stuff was really tempting, those bales.
Yeah.
And it was good hay. No trash or nothing. It was really good hay.
34 bales.
And that's what they figured, 34 bales a ton.
Yeah, I hadn't seen
it. I got 34 bales. And I brought it home. Or else, 90 cents a bale or something like that. Or $30 a ton. So I was going over there to get, I think, 20 bales or something. Then when he told me the price of it, I saw right away I was much better to just buy it by a ton. So I went and bought a ton of it.
Yeah.
And I put a ton on my truck, and I didn't think I was going to make it home with it. It's so heavy.
Yeah.
It's just too much, almost too much for the truck.
Yeah. Well, you hit it lucky. How'd you find out about it?
Townsend, Marvin was telling me.
Well, he gets around out there where he is, doesn't he?
Someone told him about it. They had 90,000 bales of hay.
Mm.
That's what they sold.
You mean all that Payne's Prairie?
Not right in that place. No, I mean all no. Camp had that much they sold.
At various places.
Yeah. And that one barn, I guess they must have had 4,000 or 5,000 bales in it.
Yeah.
Where I went and got picked this up. And me, it was really good hay. I wish I could have got some earlier. Because I bought some old Archer and had to haul it from over there. And it wasn't nothing but old dog fennels.
Yeah.
Sorry stuff. You couldn't even pick it up without sticking those old sticks in your hand.
Yeah.
But, last year, I only wound up, I think I put up 700 and some bales, about 750 bales I baled. And Darren Shirley didn't turn around and sell 150 bales of it. And I knew good and well when she sold it, she'd promised this lady 150 bales before I even fertilized. Well, and here I had to deliver the stuff at 90 cents a bale, and I went ahead and had to buy it over there for $1.25 a bale over to Archer and go get it. And it was sorry, nothing but dog fennels. And it wasn't no quality to it at all. And I went over here, what I sold was good quality hay. I delivered 150 bales, and my pickup had to make about 5 trips. Made me so darn mad, and she sold that hay. I told her, I said, don't never sell it, and we know what we got.
And don't sell it.
And I wound up with 600 bales of her own, and before winter came on, we'd already used up about 100 bales of that, feeding it to various cows around there. And we wound up with about 500 bales when winter came on, and here we needed about 2,000 bales.
Yeah.
It was about 1,500 bales short.
I'm surprised you don't have a ton truck or something.
Well, I am too, because I need one. I need one. That's no kidding. But surely she well, that pickup would be good enough. That pickup's all you need. I said, yeah, that's all I need if I'm not gonna need one.
Well, the trouble with the pickup is you overload it.
Yeah, and I can't hold nothing on it.
Yeah.
I need a good truck, but the trouble is, if I had a ton and a half truck sitting out there, I need it. If I got one, it'd be a ton and a half. But the only thing is, I got to buy a license tag for that thing every year. If I don't use it once a year on that highway, I got to have a tag on it.
Yeah.
And that's really something.
And that darn tag going to cost me about $75 or $80 for a tag.
Yeah.
That's right.
And the only time I actually need one is if I sold in hay.
Would you tell me how Marvin gets away with letting that little truck of his, ton truck of his, set out all the time?
Well, probably because it ain't his truck.
Well, it runs when he starts it.
Yeah. As long as this other guy keeps it up, it's fine. He don't even own the truck. He doesn't even keep the insurance paid up on it. Toby pays that insurance up on it every year. He keeps it in good shape. Here last year, Toby came and got the truck, took it to Hawthorne, had a new motor and everything put in it. Had the motor rebuilt, brother. I don't know. It cost him about $250 to have the motor rebuilt and everything. And took it back over there. Keeps the insurance. He buys a tag for it. Marvin, the only thing he had to buy the gas put in. Marvin's been keeping that truck now. He had it when we moved out here nine years ago.
He's had it ever since I've been here.
He had it 9 years ago, I know.
He said.
We've been here 9 years and he had it then. Toby just got through putting a new paint job on it then.
Doesn't Toby ever use it?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think he's used that truck two or three times since I've been here.
Yeah, about once a year. Maybe Marvin holds a little for him.
And then Mrs. Guthrie, she'll cuss him out when he comes to get it to use it. She's in the hospital now, you know.
What happened to her?
Oh, I don't know. Some of her imagination's coming out. I don't know.
Let me tell you, you know, Shirley hadn't been feeling good all summer. And she got miffed because Shirley wouldn't let Bonnie come over and stay with her.
I know. She wouldn't even talk to us. I'd drive. She got sort of mad, and here Shirley was. She stays in bed by half time. Her heart's been hurting her, you know. She's been having these awful cramps in her chest and her left foot and left arm go to sleep, you know, which isn't a very good sign.
No.
And she'd get awful bad cramps in the chest and couldn't hardly breathe. And I keep telling her, I said, darn, I said, go to the doctor. Well, we just can't afford it. But you let one of them darn dogs cough twice out there, and she's got him down to the vet in 5 minutes. It makes me so darn mad about these darn animals. She got more animals. Just like a lady said the other day, she said, you know what's wrong with her? She got too many pets. She got all them guinea pigs, every darn animal you can think of. That damn monkey, he ain't worth throwing in a darn lake with a brick around his neck. That's exactly what I'd do to him if she went off very long.
Let me tell you about it. I was the other day, she had my kids. But the time before that I went over there, we were setting favors with me. We were setting out that swimming pool, and that monkey was right around Shirley's neck all time.
Boy, I can't stand him. I can't stand that darn monkey.
He don't get on you?
Oh, yeah, he'll crawl on me and everything. Oh, boy, I tell you, he'll fight you, you know. If he can't have his way, he's got a hot temper.
Oh, has he?
Oh, yeah, he's got a temper. If you put down something to try to take it away from him, boy, he'll jump over, he'll chew you up like a wild squirrel.
Will he really chew you?
Oh, goodness, he'll have your hand bleeding all over. I don't care who it is.
He'll actually nip you.
Oh, he certainly will. He'll bite you like a squirrel, and he can bite the blood out, and he'll leave your finger so sore you can't touch him or nothing.
Well,
if he ever jumped on me like that, I've seen him jump on the kids like that. If he ever jumped on me, I'd grab that monkey and bust every bone in his body.
What'd they do?
Oh, I mean, just playing with him.
Uh-huh.
Playing with him. If they've got something in their hands, and if he wants it, if he don't give it to him, he'll bite the farm if you get it.
Is that right?
Did he ever get after you?
He bit every one of them. He's had rabies shots and everything, but that's beside the point.
Well, yeah, I've been bit by a squirrel.
You know how they can bite? They can bite you a dozen times before you can shake them off your hand.
Yes.
They bite so fast, and he can do the same thing.
They go right straight through before you
can. Yeah, just like little pins. His teeth are just like needles.
Yes.
And he does the same thing. Before you can shake him off your hand, he'll have you bit about 4 or 5 times.
Okay. Did he get you?
I just don't care about it. And all he wants to do is sit around there on those windows. He keeps those windows so dirty and everything. Shirley has to go out there and wash them windows, close them and wash them every day nearly.
Really?
And if I would let her, she would have that monkey in the house all the time. But he never comes in the house. But if you leave that door open about 2 minutes, he's in the house.
Yeah.
And that's the dirtiest thing there is. And smell.
Vermin, while we were talking about it, you know, one of the most extraordinary things, it just shows you, Faye, how you just can't tell what's going to happen. Now, you take the best farmers in this part of the country. You see, he's a hay farmer from way back.
Yeah.
And Marvin, not bad, you know, he's had a lot of experience. And neither one, all of them in the hay business, neither one got in the hay to cut anymore.
Isn't that so?
Them damn caterpillars, locusts, what were they?
Army worms
just about put you out of
business. You know, I just don't understand. Now, that county agent, I had them come out and check my soil here. About a year ago. That's while Shirley was still in Orlando. When my pangola all died out. See, I've had that field there. I had about 40 acres. It was solid pangola. No weeds, no nothing. It was solid pangola.
Beautiful.
And beautiful. It started dying out. Spot here, spot there. It just, spots just kept growing. Next thing, it wasn't nothing but weeds. Well, I had the county agent come out. He'd take soil samples here, there, and there. And, and then when I called him up later on to find out what the trouble was, I was trying to find out what killed my pangola. I first thought it was mole crickets.
You were in Alaska County?
Oh, yeah.
Is that Andrews?
Yeah. Well, I thought it was mole crickets. Well, they said no. Well, I agreed with them because I got mole cricket bait and went out there and spread out a bunch of mole cricket bait, and I don't think I counted a dozen mole crickets in the whole field. So I decided, well, either the mole cricket bait's no good, or else there is no mole cricket bait. No mole crickets out in the field. So I decided, well, if the mole crickets wasn't what killed it out. Something else killed it.
That's what I meant a while ago, the mole crickets.
Yeah. Well, when he came out and took samples of it, I wanted to find out what was killing it. Well, finally his conclusion was the cold killed it. Well, I just couldn't agree with it.
Not little spots at a time.
I couldn't agree with that. Not at all. For one reason, I have where the field where I'm at. See, I got my field divided up into 3 fields like this. Here, one up here at the house,
yeah,
where the barn is.
Yeah.
That middle field and one right there at the road where you come in.
Yeah.
Well, that middle field is all pangola in the little corner over here in the coastal. Well, this field here at the house, it's in pangola too, but I never fertilized it. There's about 10 acres of pangola in there.
Yeah.
Well, you know that pangola has never died. And I never have had fertilizer or nothing. Just that middle field dies. I told him, I said, well, then why is it that the cold then killed everything on the south side of the fence and then on the north side where I never fertilized nothing, it never hurt it? Well, he never did. He never had to give me no answer for it. So this year, I went there and fertilized that field at the house. And there's about 10 acres in there. It's pangola. Well, there's spots of bahia grass coming up in it, which doesn't hurt the hay. It's not like weeds, you know. But hay will make fairly good hay, but you don't get no quantity on it out of it. You can't, no matter how you fertilize it, you're not going to get over 30 bales an acre on it. You just don't get the quantity off of bahia grass. Where pangola, I'd get about 100 bales an acre on it. So, but on that side of the fence, it's all right. Now, I've replanted this pangola once. I replanted it here about 5 years ago, right before I started working on the university. I replanted that field. And it did good for about 2 years, and then it died out again. So I'm not going to replant no more. What I'm going to do, what coastal I got, I'm going to plant in coastal.
I got a hold of the county agent at Ocala.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get a little start of coastal. And that last winter, and I had about 5 acres up here. And no more help than I have, that's all I can handle. And I had it worked up good. The man up here at Brooker was going to bring me some of the roots, you know, they put in the winter. But it turned out he wouldn't come for less than 20 acres at $20 an acre.
he'd bring it down here and put it in and scatter it. I don't know whether he cut it in or not, but that's small matter. And so I called down there, and one of those young fellas down there,
Jimmy Gleason, was assistant county agent down there.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I talked to him.
He was assistant county agent there. He's been for the last 6 or 7 years.
And
but he's been transferred,
me,
though.
Well, there's no great laws, according to my experience. He told me, no, they hadn't done that down there in years. They just didn't do that anymore. They found it wasn't profitable.
What's that, Muni Plant Coastal?
From the roots.
Well, it takes longer digging it up the roots.
This not long ago, I got in touch with some people over here in the Shiloh community, and they told me the man right off who had some, and I called him. And he says, yes, he's going to dig it next week.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can dig it, but you know it's much harder digging it from the roots than it is going out there and mowing it and planting like pango and disking
yeah,
it in.
Yeah. But see, that in the winter, I had my ground fixed up.
Yeah, well, that's the only way you could do it in the winter.
Yeah.
But I went out there this past spring, it was around April, about May, I guess it was.
Yeah.
And I dug up a bunch of roots. I was planting about an acre out there that way.
Yeah.
But it's a job planting it by hand. I went out there, you know, took all three of my boys, those boys.
Yeah.
We went out there with a shovel, and I'd fill my truck up with it, and I mean, you start digging that stuff by hand. I should have taken a plow and plowed it up, I guess, and taken a rake and raked up little paws and scared it out. But I didn't know. I would go out there and work maybe an hour or two each afternoon, and I'd come home. We planted about an acre out there, but boy, we really put the time in on that acre.
And you, yes.
It takes a long time.
And you figure putting your whole field in like
you
that.
You go out there with a shovel and about every 5 or 6 feet stop and dig a hole. And put a sod in there and go up another 5 feet and put another sod in all over that field. It takes a long time.
It's like hoeing cotton in the old days.
Oh, boy.
Well, how do you do it the other way, Brian?
Best thing to do is take your mowing machine and go out there and mow it. And take your rake and windrow it. A lot of them will take it and bale it even in the green.
Yeah.
And then take it and then get on the back of a truck or a trailer and scatter it and then take a disc and disc it in.
Yeah.
And it seeds?
They don't seed.
Yeah,
there's no seed. You either got it, you got to plant it like pangola. You either got to cut it from the spriggins or from the roots.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can plant it. There's
and
no seeds.
Berman, and then Marvin got all that hay equipment and then went completely out of business.
I don't know what you're going to put in this year. I don't know what. Now I should. I hope I can get about 2,000 bales out of there this year. Maybe I might get more. I don't know. I may have some I'll be able to sell, but I'm not going to plan on selling nothing until I know what I get from a sale.
Yeah. And you know about what you need.
Well, I'm going to need at least about 2,000. If I have about 2,000 bales, I'll be able to be all right.
Is that a barn full?
Well, that's more than a barn full. That barn down the road, I might be able to get 800 bales in that, and maybe about the same in the one at the house.
Who helps you?
Well, Shirley would drive the tractor or something for me, and boys help me some. Johnny, he's getting big enough now. He can throw hay pretty good. So all the help I got.
That's throwing is a great help.
Here up until this past few years, in fact, the only thing Shirley can do, she'll get out there and she'll try to handle that hay. And I can't stop her to save my neck. She's going to handle it.
She just loves
or else she'll go off and pound. That's no lie.
Yeah.
And she'll get on that wagon, and, you know, I use that carrier to put up my barn with. You know, I got a carrier. I just plug it in, and you set it on that elevator, and it runs right up the barn and dumps it. And all I have to do is stack it. She'd get down there and set it on that elevator for me. I can put about 70 bales on that wagon. I can haul about that many on the wagon. It's not so bad using the wagon, but it's hard trying to use that pickup, you know, haul the hay to the barn and pickup. Because on the wagon, see, I'll take the end of that carrier and set it up on the wagon. I'm going to buy the wagon. You can't do it on a truck because you can't get... You don't have no room to put it on the truck.
You got a wagon?
Yeah. I got a wagon. I made it here, one I made.
Oh, yeah.
I can put about 70 bales on it.
Oh, that's nice.
But I got to put the body on it's beginning to rot out. I don't have to replace the boards on it. If I do, I'm going to make it where it'll hold by another 10 bales. I made the thing just a little too short.
Yeah. Well, right there in your own field, you
yeah.
don't have to.
No, it's a pretty good wagon. It'll turn real short. And,
but a carrier, that's something.
Yeah, well, carrier, if you don't have a carrier, you just sunk. That is before you're putting it up and down. Hey, hayloft, run up that height about this ceiling here, you know, or over this door. So you try to throw every bale on that wagon up over in that height, and pretty soon at the end of the day, you're dead.
You're dead. You can't get up the next
day. It's hard enough setting them all on that carrier.
Yeah.
You start keep doing that all day long, and then you go out and get another load and then throw them all up on that wagon. At the end of the day, you put in a pretty good day's work.
Yeah.
When I cut my hay, I try not to cut down maybe 150, 200 bales at the most. I ain't gonna do like Franklin did over here, cut it all down and then lose it.
Yeah.
You know, here, boy, last year he had a bunch down. He cut it all down, lost every bit of it.
Yeah.
Clover. He must have had maybe 6,000 or 7,000 bales of hay in there. Lose every darn bit of it.
How about that? That's just reckless, wasn't it?
That's just silly. It's bad enough losing 100 bales of hay out there in the field. That's losing
he's,
that much.
He's got that good darky man that used to. That was born and brought up over here on the Richardson Brothers farm. And he knows how to handle hay.
Well, he ought to know. See, he did the same thing this year. He didn't plant the thing in nothing this year. He just let this what come up grow. He had a lot of dog fennels in there, too. I don't like dog. That's the last thing. Dog fennel and ragweed is one thing I don't want in my hay.
Yeah.
In the first place, it takes too much for it to cure out. Next place is the smell of it ruins your hay. Especially dog fennels.
Dog fennel,
they have a heck of an odor when they dry out.
Yeah.
And they're one of them are wearing a bale of hay, make it stink.
Yeah.
But he went out there this year. I didn't have no idea he was going to bale that stuff. But I started thinking about it. Darn, he wouldn't turn his cows out there. Old crabgrass coming up. You know what crabgrass is? It looked like Pangola almost growing.
Yeah.
It makes good hay.
I think Pangola just improved crabgrass.
Well, in a way, it's about what it is.
It may not be even related to it, but it's...
When they both start growing, they look almost alike.
Yeah.
Crabgrass makes good hay.
Yeah.
And I got crabgrass growing up in those spots there where the Pangola died out last year. I got crabgrass growing up that high.
If you can just get it at the right time.
It's been to see it was all fertilized. And I mean, it's just a pretty and green.
Yeah.
But crabgrass will go backwards real quick.
Well, that's it.
When it starts back, it goes back real quick.
Yeah, not like Pangola.
And it looked like me when it goes back, it just disintegrates even.
Yeah.
It just disappears.
Mm-hmm.
But then a month's time after that stuff starts dying, you can't even see where it's even been hardly.
Yeah.
It'll leave a bare spot on the ground now.
Faye, what do you think? We were talking about Cheryl this morning. I said we haven't paid any attention to her at all, and she's been ailing this summer. Or Donna does. Visited a little bit. All I know to do is get her to the doctor. She's got so much help over there.
Well,
trouble is, she gets her own kind of help. You know, people, you'd think, well, you're sick. They wouldn't send the kids down to pest you. But they'll send their kids down there, no darn well. She's sick, and they'll go ahead and send their darn kids down. And the kids around our place there, they have no manners. They'll run through your refrigerator. The first place they go to is the refrigerator.
You mean when they come to visit?
Yeah. Come and raid your fridge. First thing they do is go to the refrigerator to get something to eat. And
who's cooking, Bonnie?
Well, Bonnie does best she can. Mrs. What's her name? She used to live in the creek, Corona. She brought over a meatloaf last night and some cake and baked potatoes and stuff. And, she got pretty nice. Her kids are pretty good. They don't go through nothing. And when they come in, they're real quiet. They'll stay outside and play. But we've got some neighbor kids there that I just can't go. Only thing they want, when they come in there, they don't want what we eat. They want candy and cold drinks and stuff.
Yeah.
They come in the refrigerator looking for cold drinks.
Yeah.
They don't want a glass of milk, you know. They want a cold drink.
Now, down there at the Balkanites, the only one is a little girl.
Yeah, but she got a little nephew over across the road, niece over across the road, same age she is, almost 1 year younger. Faye. You know, Faye is Mrs. Boatnight's daughter.
Yeah. She's a little redheaded one.
No, that's Mrs. Boatnight's granddaughter, a little redheaded one. That's her daughter's daughter.
That's Faye's daughter?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Cindy.
Yeah.
That's Cindy.
Oh boy, she that is just as much different between Cindy and Tina. See, Mrs. Boatnight's other daughter is named Tina. She's the same age as Bonnie. And Cindy,
Is
1 year younger than Bonnie. She's that little redhead one.
Yeah.
Well, one's a daughter and one's a granddaughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They both always run around together.
Yeah.
But Tina, she's real nice. She's got good manners, and seems like she's well behaved.
Yeah.
But Cindy, if she comes down the house and she decides she wants something to eat out of the refrigerator, and if I stop her, she'll pout. Now, I think I'm gonna go home. And she'll sit down there and pout. And her brother's the same way, Vaughn. He's a little, her brother, he's real skinny.
Yeah.
And all he wants to eat is candy and cold drinks. That's all he wants to eat.
Yeah. And when he comes over to play, he wants candy
and cold drinks. And neither one of them is, I don't think the two of them got no manners at all. I hate to say that about our neighbor's kid, but it's a darn truth.
Well, now, what's the nearest neighbor they have to play with past them?
Well, they got her brother's kids. Now, they're pretty well behaved. Now, her brother, Don, he lives down the creek. He's always coming up there. You know, he fishes, too. He comes up there and cleans his fish and everything at his dad's place.
Yeah.
And he got a little boy came up there.
Yeah, I know Don. I've seen him out there.
He's about... 8, I guess. He's older than Tommy.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe he might be 9. But he used to be a card, but I think his daddy really got on to him a few times, because I noticed his manners have been improving quite a bit.
Yeah.
And he don't go through the refrigerator like he used to either.
Yeah.
He's improved quite a bit, because I think his dad and mother started clamping down on him.
I was over.
Because he came over to the house the day before yesterday. And Shirley said, I asked her about it. She said he came in here one time. He wasn't in here for a minute until he came in with Danny or something, and he stayed outside. He didn't come in the house. Shirley was in bed all that afternoon.
I was over at Christmas, and that Saturday, Ms. Balknight was going to town, to the grocery shop, one thing or another, and the three girls were going with her. And I thought, my, that would be a picnic. You see, that crowd.
Yeah, well, I tell you, see, now, Sandy, Tina is pretty good. Tina used to not mind. She used to throw a tamperage whenever Ms. Boat and I'd come down and get her.
Yeah.
But it seemed like that had really changed. She don't do that no more. When time for her to come home, she's supposed to be home at 5 o'clock. She's home at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And she's real polite. But I was sort of surprised that it turned out like that, because when... She used to sass her mother back and everything, but she don't do that no more. She's completely tamed.
Yeah.
But Cindy, she'll sass you back. When I come in the house, correct her, she'll tell me to shut up. I'll just tell her that she can have to go home, or if she don't straighten up.
Yeah.
And one day her brother was down there, Vaughn. He came up there, and he'd already gone home. And I'd asked Danny where the eggs was. He went out to get the egg, and I think he had one egg.
Yeah.
And come to find out, Vaughn, while we was having a party around there, was having a weenie roast for the kid. And while we was around there roasting weenies, Tommy and Vaughn, they went out there and busted all eggs. Just busted them. And well, Tommy, he didn't know no different. He told Tommy it was rotten, they wasn't no good. So they busted them all. Just took them and busted them up against the building. That made me mad. So I phoned Faye and told her about it, what he did. And boy, she really tore him up. She came down to the house, and he had some savings there, $2 or $3 in the bank. She made him take that money down to the bank, bring it down, and give it to me. I told him, I said, no. I said, that's his money. I said, you let him keep it. I said, I think he's been punished enough. I said, I'd feel guilty taking it just for a few eggs. I said, because they weren't worth that much. And I come to find out he's done it several times. He just goes out there and busts them. Heck of it. And at different times, he went out there and busted about 3 or 4 cases of cold drink bottles on the ground just to watch him bust the glass fly. And I never did tell her about that. But the boy, that made me mad when he did that. And here about, it's only been about a week or so ago, the boys decided they were going to, the old place where we lived there, they were going to make a clubhouse out. And Timmy and Danny and Johnny, they all went in there and cleaned it up and got them a mop, mopped up the floor. cleaned up everything. And during Vaughn, he came in there and got some these old cattails. You see them growing around ponds, and you know how fuzzy they get when they dry out. Nothing but look like felt blowing around.
Yeah,
they get to be a mess when they start going to pieces. Yeah. Well, they had an electric fan though, and he went over there and he tore that place upside down. I walked in there the other day. I said, I wonder what in the world. I went back and I asked Johnny. I said, what happened to that place over there? He'd taken these cattails and had a big fan there, and he'd stuck them in that fan, and they'd just blow everywhere.
Yeah.
Tear them all up, and they'd blow everywhere. Yeah. And he went up there, and he tore up everything upside down. Anything, it wasn't nothing right side up.
Yeah.
Why, Brahma?
He'd done it. And I asked him, I said, Danny, what in the world did y'all tear up that place for over there? I said, after you worked so hard, they spent a whole day in there cleaning up the place and rearranging everything. They brought a bunch of their own stuff in there, Johnny said, I don't mess with that no more. He said Vaughn went in there and he tore it all up, stuck the dog fennels in that fan, turned over all the furniture and everything. He busted dishes and stuff on the floor. Shirley had some dishes over there she left over there, and he'd bust them on the floor. And it really made him. I told him, I said, next time you let him come in there or anybody come in there and do that, I said, I'm going to give every one of you a whipping just as though you'd done it yourself. I said, I'm not going to have it. You just stand there and let them do it.
Let me tell you, before Gores, I want to go back there and show him one of them, just one of them little calves. I just got one.
Looking at.
That's the one,
Shirley. Well, Shirley, she sold.
That's the one she's so crazy about.
She sold five more of those calves, you know, this week.
Oh, she did.
This is the end of Channel 1 Right, and the end of the visit on this tape, at any rate, with Berman and Tommy this Saturday morning, the 7th of August, 1971. This is the end of Channel 1 Right, and the end of the visit on this tape with Berman and Tommy this Saturday morning, the 7th of August, 1971. Channel 1 Right, and the end of the visit with Berman and Tommy this Saturday morning, the 7th of August, 1971. Channel 1 Right. Of the visit with Berman and Tommy this Saturday morning, the 7th of August, 1971. Channel 1 Right. Now, this is the end of it.